It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is 1901 UTC. It is brilliantly warm, a wonderful 33 degrees C. I don't know what that is in not C, sorry. But it's warm. It's not as warm as it has been. In Marcus news, I put my motorcycle back together. Didn't start. Charged the battery. Didn't start. But on the bright side, it's time for news. Oh, not views. News. Typing is hard on your phone in Calm. But if you would like to hang out in Calm and chat with the show live on the roof. It's not in the roof room. It's in and on radio. All you need to do, make sure I'm on. I am on. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org and jump on over, SSH over, then launch the program COM, C-O-M, press enter, press G for go to, and then type anon radio, all lowercase, all one word. Boom. You are in the room with the cool people like Jeff and Stug and Draw. Thank you all for being here and hanging out. It's always a good time in the Anon Radio Room. And yeah, there's a bunch of news and I'm just kind of everywhere. My big thing was just being excited about my motorcycle and then it not working. A friend online suggests that maybe it's my kickstand sensor or something along those lines. The V-Strom does require that the bike be in neutral and you've got to be in neutral and you got to pull the clutch in before you start. So I could see it requiring the kickstand sensor also say that everything's okay, but it'll be a question mark. I'll find out. Good old Suzuki. It runs really well until it doesn't. Hey, Utsuho. Thank you for being here. Hello. All right. Well, I guess we got to start the way we pretty much always start. And that, my friends, this was some world news. I don't have the sound effect, so it always messes with me. If you are listening to the show in the future and you want to kind of just skip around or would like to follow along and read along, or if you're listening live and just want to know what stories I'm reading, you can just go to tx0.org/175. That's TXO, so tx0.org/175, tangoxray0.org. So, the first, that so was a bit loud, my bad. First, there was an election in Kenya, and we had the results just as the show was starting yesterday. But what happens next? Now that Ruto is Kenya's president-elect, what happens next? Legal battles and political intrigue are expected in the coming days now that he's won the election. William Samoei Arap Ruto, deputy president of Kenya since 2013, has been declared winner of a keenly contested election in East Africa's powerhouse. Ruto won the election by a narrow margin, garnering 50.49% of the votes to his closest challenger, 48.85%. I stand before you despite intimidation and harassment. Wafula Chebukati, chairperson of the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, said early Monday evening, "I've done my duty according to the laws of the land. In accordance with the law, I hereby declare that Ruto William Samoei has been duly elected as the president." Chebukati's announcement came within an hour after his deputy, Juliana Cherera, led three other commissioners out of the tallying center to proclaim their dissent. Elsewhere in Nairobi, "We are not at Balmas," tallying center because we cannot take ownership of the results that are going to be announced, Chararara said at a press conference before the results were made public, giving no further details. Ruto said in his speech, I will run a transparent, open, democratic government, and I'll work with the opposition to the extent that they provide oversight over my administration. Zimbabwe's Emerson Mnangagwa and Nigeria's Muhammad Buhari, South Africa's Cyril Ramaphosa have tweeted their congratulations. Najib Balala, a member of Kenya's ruling party and the country's cabinet secretary for tourism and wildlife, also tweeted congratulations. Former Justice Minister Martha Karu, who ran alongside Odinga, tweeted, "It's not over until it's over," after the results. This has prompted speculation about a legal challenge from her team, something Odinga will be familiar with. So, he won. A lot of people are kind of upset. We'll probably hear about protests and things happening over the next few days. But it's kind of exciting that they've got it all decided now. It's been a week or so. So, that's what's going on in Kenya. What else is happening? You guys, you know, people like to know about stuff that's not in Africa. Well, check this out. 38 people were found stranded on a tiny, unnamed island. A group of 38 migrants, including a heavily pregnant woman, that's an interesting way to put it, have been found stranded on a tiny, unnamed island along the Turkish-Greek border. The 22 men, 9 women, and 7 children say they have been on the Evros River islet since mid-July. After being located on Monday, they were taken to the mainland Greece. The country's migration minister said the group were all in very good condition and the pregnant women had been taken to hospital as a precaution. However, at least one child died on the islet, which is near the Greek town of Levara, according to the group and human rights agencies. Greek police have yet to confirm. Migration Minister Notis Mitsotakis visited the Evros region on Tuesday. While he did not confirm the child's death, he said the government would work with the International Red Cross and Red Crescent to retrieve the body to ensure a dignified burial. There had been some uncertainty over the group's location, and therefore over whether Turkey or Greece should have stepped in to help. Greek authorities initially said the people, who police say all identify themselves as Syrian, were in Turkish territory. They were eventually found about 4 kilometers south of the coordinates outside the Greek territory that was initially reported some days ago. This is why Greek police suggest the migrants had not been found earlier. Baida, one of the women in the group, described being treated like a football game between the two sides. "No one wants us, no one hears us, no one wants to help us," she added. Greece's treatment of migrants trying to reach Europe from Turkey has been highlighted for a number of years. So, that is what's going on there. Hello, Chris 899. Welcome to Calm. Welcome to Calm. All right. So, that's going on. Not necessarily exciting, just some dead bodies. Speaking of dead bodies, Israel admits to Gaza raid that killed children. Officials tell Haaretz newspaper that Israel was behind August 7th attack near Jabalia refugee camp, contradicting earlier claims. Israeli defense officials have confirmed that an Israeli raid on a Gaza cemetery killed 5 Palestinian children during its assault in early August, according to a new report, contradicting previous statements senior military officials made to local media. Several defense sources told the Haaretz newspaper that an army inquiry into August 7th attack concluded the 5 children, from ages from 4 to 17, were killed by an Israeli air attack on the Al-Fallujah cemetery. In the aftermath of the attack, which came during a 3-day Israeli assault on the besieged enclave, several senior Israeli officers told Haaretz the deaths were likely caused by an off-course Islamic Jihad rocket. The military did not publicly assign blame for the deaths and did not respond to Al Jazeera's request for comment. So, not really a big surprise. Hey, X1, welcome, welcome. So not really a huge surprise, but I guess it's kind of a surprise that Israel took responsibility. That's probably what's news. As we've talked about before, Israel's killed, you know, hundreds of kids over the years. Because, gosh darn it, they for sure are doing good things. Anyway, Zionism is dangerous.
Well, what else is going on? Well, there's all sorts of crap going on. The world is a crazy place. Or it can be kind of wild. Speaking of something wild, a Chinese woman was detained for wearing a kimono. Police allegedly questioned her for hours after accusations of picking quarrels and provoking trouble. A Chinese woman said she was detained by police and accused of picking quarrels for wearing a Japanese kimono and taking photos in a city street. The woman was wearing the kimono and a wig while cosplaying as a popular character from the manga series Summertime Rendering. She was taking photos in Suho when she and her photographer were approached by a police officer. In the video, the woman explained she was conducting a photo shoot, but an officer tells her, "If you came here wearing hanfu, I wouldn't say this, but you were wearing a kimono as a Chinese. You are a Chinese, are you?" Hanfu is a term for traditional Han Chinese dress. The woman asked why she was being yelled at and was told that she was suspected of picking quarrels and provoking trouble, a catch-all accusation used routinely by authorities against dissidents, journalists, and activists. The video cuts out shortly after she is grabbed by officers and taken away. The woman said she'd been queuing for food on a street famed for its Japanese restaurants when the officer approached. She said she was taken to the station and questioned for 5 hours until 1 a.m. and that her phone was searched and her kimono confiscated. She said she was educated and told not to discuss the incident online. Suho police could not be contacted and are yet to comment publicly on the claims. Video was viewed by tens of millions and prompted heated discussion on Chinese social media, where nationalism has been on the rise. Hostility or unease towards Japan has existed within China for decades over its brutal invasion and occupation of China and wartime atrocities such as the Nanjing Massacre. Regular visits by Japanese politicians also routinely prompt outrage in China and other Asian nations such as South Korea. And that is kind of funny to me. So one of the things that we kind of forget, because Japan has had their images changed so much, but oh wow, I just realized that my pants are a greasy mess. Not something 409 can clean up. Like I said, I've been working on my motorcycle and I forgot that I grabbed the wrong pair of jeans. I have a pair of jeans that I wear when I'm working on the motorcycle. Uh-oh, there's a delay. Did I lose you? Let's see. Hey. All right. I think I'm still here. There we go. Anyway, I'm a greasy mess. Uh-oh. look at that shine. Give me something fast. Anyway, sorry. That is a reference to a tote bit at the Dubious Goals Committee. If we get a Dubious Goals Committee, you will maybe understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes it takes a little while. Anyway, a Chinese lady was wearing some cosplay as a Japanese person, and she got hauled off and questioned and hassled by the cops for many hours. And I just wanted to be like, okay, this is just a quick reminder that, hey, don't forget, Japan was an imperialist power too. They were just imperialists over on the other side of the world, so they don't have any cool countries. Like, Africa still has all these scars from colonialism, and India and Pakistan, and just a lot of the world bears a lot of horrible scars from imperialism, and we don't quite, for whatever reason here, we don't see, and in the U.S. at least, we don't ever talk about the imperialism of Japan and how that harmed the region, but whatever. You know what we need? We need to hear some music. This is getting too heavy. Don't be heavy, Marcus. Play some music. You know what? We are. Enjoy the silence. From Depeche Mode.
Oh my little girl, all I ever wanted. Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access UNIX system.
That's right. You are listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you. So thanks so much for being here and for tuning in, hanging out with us. Shout out to Gerbil Fat joining during the song. And thanks to new listener Chris, thanks for tuning in, hanging out in and on radio with us. So we've got a few more news stories. We've got about 11 minutes or so before 1930 UTC, and every damn day, no matter what, there is a dubious goals committee that happens at 1930 UTC. So stick around, check that out, listen to it. Hard drugs. Academics argue that there is a possibility, but it's very much dependent on socioeconomic conditions, as well as the culture of the location.
And I will tell you the number one most dangerous drug that's out there that exists is alcohol. It is readily available. No one wants to say that it's a drug. No, very rarely does anybody want to call it a drug. And it's just all around. Kills lots of people. Causes a lot of car wrecks. A lot of abuse at home. And, I mean, it's the best way. If you ask me, it's the best way to enjoy other harder drugs. Get nice and drunk first. Leon G, welcome. Oh, goodbye. Back. Oh, no. Oh, good. I'm sorry. Okay, good. All right, we're back. Sorry, I didn't realize I dropped. I'm not sure what happened. I'm on a cellular connection, so... A truck pulled in and was backing up and was making a lot of noise. Maybe it's mixed me up. But anyway, just heads up, watch out. Romania is criminalizing drugs, declaring war on drugs, which is usually justification for all sorts of horrible stuff. Let's talk about something that happened in Maine that's pretty wild. I wanted to mention it before the song, but didn't quite get to it. Metal object falling from airplane narrowly misses hitting Maine man. And Maine, they mean the state of Maine in the United States. A metal object, believed to have fallen from a transatlantic jet, came crashing down outside the Maine State House, landing with a loud bang just a few feet from the Capitol police worker, officials said on Monday. The Federal Aviation Administration was alerted on Friday and returned to the State House on Monday as it investigated the object, according to the Capitol Police Chief Matthew Clancy. The metal hit with a loud bang on a slab of granite lining a cobblestone walkway about 6 to 8 feet from a security screener and came close to hitting the building itself. It definitely shocked him, the chief said. He was walking back to the building and got quite a wake-up call. No one was hurt. The FAA says it believes the metal sleeve, weighing 6 to 7 pounds, came from a wing flap of a large passenger jet. Airlines were notified and all planes landed safely that day. The area where the airplane part crashed to the ground is usually busy when the Maine legislature is in session, and it's routinely used for rallies, protests, and press conferences. Could you imagine whatever protest was happening if a giant hunk of metal fell out of the sky and smashed their head in? That would be a terrible thing, and it would also be so hard to prove that it wasn't on purpose. Alright, so that's good stuff. What else is going on? Well, I've got one other thing, but let me mention this too. Rudy Giuliani is now a target of the Georgia election investigation. This is just a heads up in case you were not keeping up with domestic U.S. news. Trump's been in legal trouble. His home's been raided. A lot of evidence has been gathered. But his lawyer at the time... Wow, it's awful noisy here today. Anyway, his lawyer was Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York, who was his personal lawyer. And he went around spouting a bunch of nonsense all over the place and lying to people. So now he's part of the investigation, too. So if anything comes of it, I'll be sure to mention it. And we've got about 5 minutes to go, and that's just enough time for me to talk about this last story that I wanted to mention. As long as we're still on the air, we are perfect. This beeping. This is odd because we're here at the same time every dang day out here on the roof. And I've never had this many, there's never been this many delivery trucks. I can't even see it. It must be, you know what I bet you it is? I bet you it's just the mail delivery truck. It has that noise, and sometimes people use the mail truck to go around the office. Anyway, let's just get into it. thanks so much for everybody for tuning in. So here's the last story. We'll run out of time while we're talking about it, but a uranium ghost town in the making. I wanted to mention this in the past, and we didn't have time, so I was trying to make time for it today. The death map tells the story of decades of sickness in the small northwest New Mexico communities of Murray Acres and Broadview Acres. Turquoise arrows point to homes where residents had thyroid disease. Dark blue arrows mark cases of breast cancer, and yellow arrows mean cancer claimed a life. Neighbors built the map a decade ago after watching relatives and friends fall ill and die. Dominating the top right corner of the map, less than half a mile from the cluster of colorful arrows, sits what residents believe is the cause of their sicknesses. 22.2 million tons of uranium waste, left over from milling ore to supply power plants and nuclear bombs. "We were sacrificed a long time ago," said Candace Head Dilla, who created the death map with her mother after Head Dilla had her thyroid removed and her mother developed breast cancer. Research has linked both types of illness to uranium exposure. Beginning in 1958, a uranium mill owned by Homestake Mining Company of California processed and refined ore mine nearby. The waste it left behind leaked uranium and selenium into groundwater and released the cancer-causing gas radon into the air. State and federal regulators knew the mill was polluting groundwater almost immediately after it started operating, but years passed before they informed residents and demanded fixes. Contamination continued to spread even after the mill closed in 1990. And the failures at Homestake are emblematic of the toxic legacy of the American uranium industry, one that's been well documented from its booming during the Cold War until falling uranium prices and concerns over the danger of nuclear power decimated the industry in the 1980s. Uranium mining and milling left a trail of contamination and suffering, from miners who died while the federal government kept the risk secret, to the largest radioactive spill in the history of the country. But for four decades, the management of more than 250 million tons of radioactive uranium mill waste has been largely overlooked, continuing to pose a public health threat. There's more on ProPublica, but I think this is really kind of cuts to the core of why the U.S. probably will never be, at least not until it has to be, will probably not ever be really big into nuclear. And it's not because nuclear is not safe, but it's because being safe with nuclear, with being safe costs money. And if money and making money and making the most money from people is your goal, then you're going to do crazy shit that will kill people and nobody cares. So anyway, that's my take. Nuclear would be great if we could do it safely, but enjoy the dubious goals committee. I'll leave you with that thought. Bye-bye.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.